In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Not much, man.
Ready to feud?
Yes.
So this is going to be a pretty special feud because for once we're not feuding something on the IMDb Top 250. So why don't you explain to the good folk what we're doing here?
Sure. So we take a movie, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against. That's it.
Well, it sounds pretty simple. And the movie we're feuding this week is going to be a little high stakes on the coin toss because we are about to feud Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. It's a long title.
Pretty standard for Star Wars, though.
Yeah, I guess that's what they eventually became. Well, I have a lot of thoughts about this movie, and I'm not going to reveal how I feel about it.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Until the coin toss.
Of course.
I'm being very open about my thoughts. But okay. Why don't we talk about the last time you watched this movie?
The last time I watched this movie was, I would say, sometime in the past 2 years, 3 years.
Wow. So is this part of your whole I watch every Star Wars movie? No.
That's the original trilogy. And then sometimes I throw in some of the prequels, some of the new ones.
That's very revelatory, Vikram, because you are conceding that you like this movie enough to have watched it again in the past 2 years.
Well, I've seen Solo thrice. And Jesus. I do not like that movie, so you have to take that back.
Yeah, for anybody listening for the first time, I think we need to make something clear, Vikram. We are Star Wars fans.
Oh, yeah. I think we are, yeah.
I think we like Star Wars.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
We like some Star Wars movies more than others.
Yeah.
And this one,
which is natural.
Which is natural.
Yeah.
Which is natural. And I guess we'll find out how you feel about this one in T-minus coin toss seconds.
Yeah. Which, can we just get onto it?
All right, let's do it. So why don't you toss the coin, Vikram?
All right. Again, I'm going to toss the coin. Heads argues for, tails argues against. Here we go. And I got heads.
What? Why are you laughing? Don't confuse our audience here, Vikram.
Wait, I love this movie.
No.
I love this movie.
No, you don't.
I love this movie.
No, you do not.
I love this movie.
Vikram, wait. You can't. You owe some integrity to our listeners here.
No, wait. Don't try to falsify my integrity here firstly, okay? I'm going to take that personally. This movie came out May 1999. I happened to be on a vacation to the United States of America to visit some family.
Why are you saying United States like Brad Pitt?
It's just this thing.
The United States.
The United States. Okay, so I was there and I literally saw it like within the first week of it coming out. I didn't know multiplexes were a thing. That's the first time I had an experience of a multiplex where my sister and my other cousin went on to watch some other movie and me and my cousin went on to watch this movie. First Star Wars movie I saw ever in my life. Oh my God, dude. I cannot not like this movie.
Okay, I don't care about like this sobby backstory you have going
on. The audience cares.
Okay, wait. You watched this movie plenty of times since. You can't, just be honest. Do you deep down love this movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is going to be so easy. This feud is going to be so easy.
Yeah.
I'm the one who should be laughing. I'm against Star Wars The Phantom Menace. There's a reason this movie is left out of the Machete Order. You remember that? The Machete Order.
Screw the Machete Order.
Watching 4, 5, then 2, 3, 6.
That's a very pleb way to watch Star Wars.
Oh my God. You're so screwed.
If 2 is included in any order, that's a bad order.
I guess let's talk about it. I haven't rewatched this movie for a long time because it sucks. But you know what? I'll go in with an open mind for you. I'll try to pretend I'm in a multiplex in the United States and my sister's watching some other movie and this is the first
Everyone
Star Wars
listening
movie.
Believes that you're going to watch this with an open mind, man. Like, just fantastic acting right
At
now.
Least I've been open about my bias, about my feelings. You, on the other hand, claim to love this movie. Okay, let's see how you hold up.
Wait, you can't just say that, oh, Vikram says he loves this movie, but he truly doesn't, so
you're
he's
lying.
I'm not lying.
Then I judge you.
Yeah, judge me. I don't care about that, but I'm not lying. I really, truly like this movie.
Okay, you enjoy your rewatch, and
yes,
I'll enjoy mine.
I will. I shall. Let's do it. Let's go watch this movie.
Let's go watch the movie. A Oh my God, Vikram, that was torture. And I've forgotten about the worst elements of this movie, namely a man slash Gungan named Jar Jar Binks.
But you forgot about Jar Jar.
But he does have a quote that I think is very appropriate as the start to our feud.
Wow, a Jar Jar quote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me, I don't do a Jar Jar.
Come on, try at least. You have to try. There's no fun otherwise.
You sign big doo-doo this time. You're so screwed. You're so screwed. How are you
going to defend? If you're going to do Jar Jar the entire feud, I am screwed. I agree.
No,
because that's the funniest thing I've heard all week. Oh, God. That was amazing.
Thank you. I'm here all week. But how are you going to even defend this piece of turd? The Phantom Turd.
By spitting straight facts, 1999. This movie came out in 1999.
So did The Matrix, and it holds up.
This movie has better CG than The Matrix.
Shut up.
100. Matrix is what? Like a couple of bullets. This is like spaceships and universes and galaxies and new planets. And it's so good.
Yeah, can we just talk about the galaxies, planets? Have you seen that meme, the Yes memes? I'm sure this exists. Yeah, like there should be a meme. George Lucas's face. Do you want CG in Star Wars? And George Lucas is just like, yes.
No, you phrase it completely
wrong. I screwed up the meme.
Completely
wrong. He just stuffed everything possible. I know this movie was shot on digital. Great for the era, right? Like, started all kinds of things. And, I mean, movie making changed. Great. But this movie sucked as a result of it. I can tell when they're on a green screen. It doesn't hold up, right? That sucks.
Parts of it don't. I mean...
Matrix, I can't. Except for that one thing.
Please.
When he's, come on. Except for the helicopter breaking the building.
The major parts of Matrix where it's super CG, it actually looks like it's super CG. But you granted that because it came out in '99. It's the same thing with this movie. A lot of it doesn't look like CG, by the way.
Dude, the CG supports the storytelling in the Matrix. Plus, they're in the Matrix, so it makes a lot of sense. Here, it's CG at the cost of just taking me out of the movie the whole time. And Jar Jar.
When? Okay, is Jar Jar your point here?
Listen.
Is Jar Jar going to be the pain of your, like...
No, it's not. It's amazing that this movie would suck without Jar Jar. That's the amazing
part. That's not true.
That's so true. Jar Jar is like a chunk of the hate this movie gets for a reason. But okay, can we start? Are you conceding Jar Jar?
Of course.
Are you conceding Misa?
Yes, Misa concede.
Jar Jar Binks.
Who cannot? Like,
you concede Jar Jar. Okay, day. What? You know, and I don't even believe that he was in any way racist. Like, I don't get that. I think people are too quick to jump to that
That's too much.
And also, like, George Lucas's defense, I mean, not that he needed one, was like, what were people claiming? That he sounds Caribbean, I guess, or what?
Well, you know, if that's actually what people truly took offense to, then they should take offense to the Trade Federation dudes, because they sound very close to, like, Japanese people.
So those guys were not CGI.
Okay.
But their lips didn't match their dialogue. It pissed me off.
Really?
So much. Yeah, it's like a fish just opening its mouth. And then...
Maybe the internal mechanics of the mouth you don't understand, so you don't know what the sound comes out.
Dude, if you and I were to make a Phantom Menace, that's the level of dubbing that we would have.
Can we make a Phantom Menace, dude?
Yeah, we should. It'll be better than this shit. Because if we do it, we won't shit on all the aspects of Star Wars this movie shits in. Think about it. It shits on Jedi Knights.
No, wait, what?
It makes them like these like wussy, you know, they were like the stuff of legends. And broadly speaking, there's going to be a problem with the prequels in general, right? You had a great thing known as Star Wars, and then 20 years later, you decide to tell the whole backstory. Just screw it up, right? It was meant to be like a mystery. Oh, what are the Clone Wars? Oh, the history of the Jedi for thousands of years or generations they protected. And now you're breaking it down. So it just makes them like these wussy, like foot soldiers that actually can't grunge together a bunch of credits when they need to. They have no morals. They try to like cheat people out of it with their hand wavy things. And then when it doesn't work, they give up.
This is such a confused argument.
They do a pod race to raise money. These are Jedi Knights. The story here is that they're putting a slave boy through a pod race to make money.
They're technically not. They have no power on that planet, which is very clearly established. Okay. The whole hand wavy thing that you just did has been shown in Star Wars before as well.
No, but that's what I mean. They're taking that, what's the name of that gargoyle that Anakin is owned by? I forget his name. The flying gargoyle.
Yeah.
And then they try to convince him with the force. I mean, Qui-Gon tries to convince him.
Yeah.
And then he can't.
Yeah.
That simple task. Like Qui-Gon, the first part of this movie, until the pod race,
right,
the whole premise is that they need money to get out of the planet.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
Wait, what do you mean, how stupid is that? They're on a planet where which doesn't recognize the Republic. So they have no power, political power there.
I want to talk about both these points, okay? Firstly, the first half of this movie, you know the Canto Bight section in Last Jedi? That's the entire first half of this movie. Oh, look, a planet and a race and a CGI race and all that.
Oh, God, that's the worst comparison ever.
I agree. So Canto Bight's the worst. And the second
comparison is the worst comparison ever.
Okay, whatever. And the politics...
Uh-huh. This movie, there's no politics in that planet, by the way.
But like, this movie is like centered planet. On politics.
Yeah.
Is this a kid's movie? The second half of this movie, it's like watching like, have you seen George Clooney and Ryan Gosling's The Ides of March? It's like that. Like you barely understand it and you have to like put together the pieces. The Naboo and the Gungans and the Trade Federation and the Republic.
Yeah.
What is going on? I'm yet to understand it. I still don't understand.
I can help you out. Ask me a question.
No,
because it's pretty straightforward.
I wouldn't
want to
bore our listeners the way I got bored by this movie.
You're a very, a lot of people think fairly smart 30-year-old. And if you don't understand the politics and what led to the rise of the Galactic Republic.
Firstly, you don't need to add that qualifier of a lot of people saying, okay? Secondly, I'll be honest here. To this day, I don't understand because I don't want to engage with Star Wars on that level. Like, maybe if this was Game of Thrones and he actually leaned in and doubled down, it'd be interesting. There's a queen and there's the Gungans and Naboo and there's a Trade Federation. Dude,
well, the queens and the Gungans are one planet out of, I don't know, a million or whatever it is. But the whole reason why he... deep dived into the whole politics of the situation was to help you understand why the senator or why Palpatine was leading the Galactic Empire.
The fall of the Republic.
So you have to understand the politics to understand why it was such a big deal that it fell and then how Empire, like in episode 3, how Palpatine came into power. You won't understand it otherwise. That won't have any weightage. Therefore, Palpatine's character won't have any weightage. He'll just be an old man in a hood just throwing lightning at you. Otherwise.
No, those aren't the only two options, Vikram. You're pretending that George Lucas wrote the only way Palpatine could have come to power. He wrote this movie. He went into a room and came out of the script. And have you seen the documentary they're making in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen all the videos like shitting on this movie? Because I have for fun many a times in the past. And the funniest scene is when he comes out, finally says, oh my God, it's ready. And he's just surrounded by yes men. Because obviously, like, you know, they're going to make a lot of money making Star Wars.
And they don't know how to do it. Like, he's the only guy who knows how to do it.
But then he does this, like, storyboarding.
Right.
Where he has these two markers. He's like, yeah, it's going to be this. And then this is going to be CGI. He's like, this is going to be CGI. And people are just watching him be like, oh my God, we're so screwed for the next few years. And all he was interested in was the CGI and not the storytelling. And yet he complicated it. And then he directed it. Why?
Oh, that was not out of choice. He didn't want to.
What do you mean he didn't want to?
He didn't want to. Let's give some props to George Lucas for identifying that he's not a good director. He did that with Star Wars and immediately knew that he wasn't going to direct the two sequels. He didn't want to direct this. Firstly, the only reason he decided to make the prequels at this time was because he felt that
CG... Because he was broke?
No, the CG was at a point... Technology was at a point where...
Now they all say that. That's like a James Cameron thing to say.
Well... Exactly. My point exactly. James Cameron.
Okay, they do come through.
Yeah, they really kill it, man. And they advance.
But he went overboard. He went overboard with that.
I don't think so. I think he killed it. And the second thing was he didn't want to direct from the get-go. He originally wanted Ron Howard to do it. Ron Howard could not wrap his head around Star Wars at all. So he's like, I can't do it. Steven Spielberg, Robert Zemeckis, he approached all these guys and they all turned it down because they were just so scared of taking
on... Or maybe they read the script.
No, they were scared of taking on board the project. This script had two drafts, by the way, even up until the time of shooting. One was a very darker sort of a movie and one was a lighter, more kids-friendly movie. And
a kids-friendly movie that starts with the tax treaty, trade federation.
Yeah.
The worst scroll of all time, by the way.
Come on.
Come on, dude. Like,
it's in
no
turmoil,
sense.
Dude. The galactic is in turmoil. Come on. Like, that's like the easiest thing to... Okay, shit's going down. Okay, I'm zoned in now. Like, I know what's
always
happening.
In turmoil. Yeah. Everything's in turmoil. Every opening scroll, but...
Yeah.
My God, man, how many shifts?
The worst opening scroll, actually. I'll better you on that. It's Force Awakens. Yeah, that's the worst opening scroll. Because you're like, oh my God, it's over. What happened? Oh, guys, it's in turmoil again.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
and
stupid.
Luke has disappeared.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Guys,
okay, so whatever. Second worst scroll of all time. Also, can we just talk about how you mentioned Force Awakens and Disney gets a lot of hate for, I hate to use this semi-curse word so many times over this episode, but for taking a shit over Star Wars. And turns out George Lucas took the original shit with episode 1.
The original shit?
Yeah. He made the original trilogy and then the original shit. Dude, think about all the things he's screwing up about Star Wars. The Force?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of the midichlorians also now?
Well, they help you understand the Force better. Otherwise, the Force would just be some vague super concept.
I've heard you defend the Force as a vague super concept, thinking that that's the best way to do it.
No,
midi-chlorians makes it so much worse.
No, but it helps you break down what it is and why it exists and stuff like that.
It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo that actually makes it quantifiable and so super dumb. And also the part where he says his midi-chlorian count is 20,000 higher than Yoda. Mm-hmm. It was so Dragon Ball Z to me. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
Not as much.
Oh, you haven't even seen the memes? Power levels over 9,000. Oh my god. And like Goku's like lifting weights in zero gravity, so now he levels up. It's like the more you train,
is it
like
lifting weights in zero gravity the easiest thing to do?
Oh no, like sorry, 100 gravity, I guess.
But see, the problem with this movie, and I feel like you're part of the tribe here, is that it gets clubbed into the whole prequel trilogy, and the hate for the prequel trilogy just bleeds into this movie. Whereas this movie,
for the prequel trilogy is birthed from this movie.
No, it's definitely not. This is the best movie from the prequel trilogy by far. And
wait. You like this more than 3?
I like this more than, because 3 overall is okay. It's just the last 10-20 minutes of 3 is actually really good.
Do you like this more than some of the original Star Wars movies by any chance?
No, that's
Thank
close.
Thank God.
That's close. But
it's close to what?
A New Hope sometimes.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
Just Luke training on the Millennium Falcon does make sense to me. That movie is really rushed. That movie was just like concept establishment. This movie was just, oh my God, deep diving into why it exists, why what happened with the politics, who the hell Anakin was, where did he come from, what the situation was with the Jedis was before, because in the original trilogy, we never really see the Jedi.
We had books for that, Vikram, and they were great.
No, I wanted to see it on screen.
Oh my God.
I wanted Liam Neeson to show me what Jedis can do.
His name's Liam, firstly.
Liam? No?
No, that's an Indian way of saying an Irish name. Mm. Can we talk about Anakin? You just mentioned Anakin. Poor kid, bro.
Yeah, as in the real-life actor?
Jake Lloyd, yeah. His life got turned upside down because people just hated on him for playing a part in a shit movie.
He quit acting in 2001.
Yeah, and then he went to jail.
I mean, yeah, he's schizophrenic, though.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's not doing well.
Probably because of this.
I mean, for whatever reason, yeah, you never really know why that happens. But he's not leading a good life. I feel bad for him. I feel bad that you brought him up here.
Let's keep it light. Yeah. But I mean, this movie definitely has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Star Wars taking a shit on Anakin. And I get it. You want to see where Anakin came from. But like, oh my God, he built C-3PO. And oh my God, like, he's such a chirpy, like, genius kid. And oh my God, like...
Just like a boss?
Yeah, so he was always a pilot, so now he's going to show him the pod racer.
Yeah.
I have a great name for this movie, by the way.
Okay, shoot.
Broadly speaking.
Okay.
Anakin Unchained.
Okay.
No. Because then I...
No, you can't bring black history into this, no.
Why?
No.
He's a slave.
He's a fictional slave. Black people are real slaves.
Django was a fictional slave too.
But based on like real slaves, this kid was like, they can't do that, dude. That's not cool.
Why? Because then you can imagine Anakin, he actually does grow up and like just wreak havoc amongst his previous slavers and stuff, you know?
That he does. I mean, can we...
I just told you like 9 things it takes to shit over.
Can we...
Takes a shit over Obi-Wan?
What? Why? Just because he's young. And an apprentice. What do you expect him to be?
He has a choti.
Oh, he has a choti, so shitting on Obi-Wan, so therefore bad movie.
You know what I concede to you is Ewan McGregor in his prime. Actually, Ewan McGregor is still pre-prime. In his prime.
This was pre-prime.
No, this is post-Trainspotting.
Trainspotting is like, yeah, okay, fine.
That's Ewan McGregor's prime, bro. He just went to like, now he's like space spotting.
Okay.
So I liked him.
He was great, dude. I think everything that they showed about the Jedi, the Council, Yoda, Mace Windu, it was all great. Like the ability for them to just talk through situations super calm, even though shit's going down. It was so Jedi.
But the whole ending high ground
fear leads
thing,
to anger.
Yeah, anger leads to a shit movie, apparently.
Hate leads to suffering.
Like,
that's what's happening to you, Vidur, right now. That's what's happening to you.
Yeah,
don't hate, don't hate, Vidur, don't hate.
I'll tell you what. Star Wars leads to Star Wars sequels. Star Wars sequels lead to Star Wars prequels. And Star Wars prequels lead to suffering. That's what's happening to me right now. Can we talk about the last scene? Obi-Wan.
You mean the sequence?
Yeah, okay. I it's the best.
Goosebumps.
It's the best of the worst.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm. Every time I watch it, even though I know exactly when the Force thing is going to open, when the fight's going to start, I know exactly when Neeson's going to get stabbed. I still flutters, dude. Just flutters.
Okay.
Such a good sequence. And music?
Ayusa done.
Music?
Jizzing over the scene. Duel of the Fates, right?
Everything about that sequence is so good.
I grant you Duel of the Fates. Great yeah. song. Great.
And just, the, come song. On, the whole battle, the lightsaber battle and all of that, it was so well choreographed. It was so well paced. It was, everything about it was insane. It's like maybe my favorite lightsaber sequence in Star Wars.
Firstly, I think it's a very weak move to up your lightsaber duel by giving someone two lightsabers. Like a dual, what do they call it? A dual saber, I guess.
What do you mean it's a weak move?
It's just like, oh my God, like you haven't seen a lightsaber duel for like 20 years. So now we'll have it like two lightsabers
in
one.
Are you not conceding Darth Maul?
Well, Darth Maul as a character is meaningless, right? So hence, as an adversary, he's meaningless. He's just a henchman who can fight. He's like, have you seen The Raid? He's like, you know, this penultimate boss you have to fight. And then they fight him 2-on-1 in The Raid. Have you not seen The Raid?
Well, no, technically he is the boss in this movie. There's no Palpatine.
There is Palpatine.
There's no Palpatine. There's Sheev Palpatine, the politician here, right?
Yeah, and there's Palpatine, the hologram.
But the real villain of this movie is Darth Maul.
But then that's awful. That's even worse because he's not a villain. Doesn't he have one line of dialogue in the movie?
Yeah, he's not saying anything.
Yeah.
And so, then, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger had nothing in Terminator. He had like 10 lines.
Vikram, that's an awful point. He had a lot in Terminator.
He had 10
lines. Terminator 1.
Yeah, the one that you not seen?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But I know about it. But then Kyle Reese was there for a lot of exposition. My point is, he's not a good villain to be the villain of this movie. He's a good action sequence catalyst.
I don't believe you said that, dude. Like, regardless of your feelings for this movie, the fact that you're not conceding Darth Maul, the character, the entire epic sequence that they have.
I'm conceding Darth Maul, the lightsaber dueler, for 10 minutes in the movie.
Dueler.
Is that a word?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you, sir, shut the fuck up. Okay? I get it. The last sequence is the best part of this movie. But like, apart from that, it's just a set piece then. And then what happens in the last sequence too? Darth Maul kills Qui-Gon, firstly.
Yeah.
Because he's better than Qui-Gon, but then
at
Obi-Wan.
At that moment, he got the better of him.
Okay.
Happens and then so
he,
much.
He doesn't kill. He
almost kills.
Okay, you can have it either way. Either Obi-Wan is somehow better than Qui-Gon, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
Or, firstly, he has the high ground to Obi-Wan, Darth Maul,
yeah.
And still loses.
Yeah.
And I've never liked that sequence, man. I've always hated it. So Obi-Wan is like hanging off that little like pipe, I guess.
The has to be present bottomless well in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. We're now looking at what? 5 had it, 6 had it, 1
yeah.
had it,
yeah.
7 had it.
7 had it, yes. I mean, the Han Solo one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so he's in that well. And then he jumps up how?
By the sheer force of force.
Okay, by the force of the force. Actually, you know, before we get to that, they do show... Do you remember in the opening when the super droids come to them on the ship?
Yeah.
Like, they kill all the stupid droids.
Those droids, dude.
And then the crazy droids come.
Yeah.
And then do you remember how they run away? They're like roadrunners, dude. They're like the Flash. They're just just disappear off screen.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this? Like, these are some dumb Jedi powers they're coming up with.
Why? Because this is... If you think about it, this is the first movie that actually showcases Jedi as a whole. Otherwise, we've only seen Luke, right?
And so, Anakin, arguably.
No.
They established that Vader used to be a Jedi, and we've seen Obi-Wan.
Yeah, sure, but we only truly seen from a Jedi point of view the powers. We only seen Yoda a little bit, and then Luke. So we haven't seen much. And even Luke, like, understandably, doesn't know the whole context of what Jedi powers are. So this is a movie that establishes stuff like that.
And part of the Jedi powers are like to run away
fast.
Like a Flash.
Yeah, they run really fast. Yeah.
Okay, so using the Jedi powers, Obi-Wan does a somersault spin.
He's also super enraged. And like that's basically his coming of age moment where he's not a Padawan anymore. He's a Jedi Knight.
Swipe his lightsaber and cut Obi-Wan in half.
He doesn't expect it.
Why does Darth Maul just watch him come and then stand there? It's a bad ending. It's always pissed me off about this movie. I like that scene. I get it. I like the Duel of the Fate sequence. It's the best part of this otherwise bad movie.
Uh-huh.
But Darth Maul is just standing there. He's just watching.
Well, firstly, he doesn't expect it. Secondly, it happens really quick. He doesn't know.
It happens slow in movie time.
Because they make it slow because they want to just show you what's exactly happening. But if those guys can run that fast, I'm sure it happened pretty quickly. So it happened quickly. He doesn't expect it. He has no expectation of Obi-Wan to pull off a move like that. And before he even realizes what's happened, he's cut in half.
My God, the way you are an apologist for this movie.
I'm not an apologist.
It amazes me. You should be using this to advance your career in other ways. If you can argue about this movie. So
using Star Wars to advance my career? How dare you?
And then Darth Maul doesn't even die. He comes back. Chris, like, no, the fans not
in the,
liked him.
Not in the context of the original trilogy, but I totally understand why he comes back. I mean, such a crazy character.
Ugh.
Crazy, crazy character. He gets him back in Solo. I mean, Disney got him back in Solo as well. So we have him in the movies for sure too.
Yeah, because so, the fans, like, dumb fans like you, like, pleb fans like
you.
How do
you not
him.
Like Darth? The fact that you don't like Darth Maul and you say that you're a Star Wars fan, you're a fake Star Wars fan. I just realized it. Oh, I just put everything together.
Can I summarize this movie again for you?
No, I don't want
to. Have you seen the classic 90s movie?
I can't wait to hear which classic you're referring to.
Called Masters of the Universe.
Okay.
That's what this movie is like.
Wow.
With better CG and a bigger budget.
I thought you were going to go like Flash Gordon or something, but you went with Masters of the Universe.
Same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has 3 fart jokes.
Okay.
It's a Star Wars movie with 3 fart jokes, man. What do you want?
I mean, Star Wars has been known to be like stupid and like whatever at
because
times.
Of this movie.
No, like even the original trilogy, I mean, like the bands and the music they show, the stupidness and stuff. Jabba the Hutt, I mean, come on,
who makes a cameo in this movie, by the way?
Yeah, so Jabba the Hutt, I mean, like, it's always known for like these weird goofy characters and
I just
lines
think you
and
can't
jokes.
Have it both ways. Like, Star Wars was a kid's movie in the sense like meant for teens and just like a typical hero's journey. George Lucas has lost the plot here, man.
No, like, he very openly made a kids movie again. I mean, he said
with the taxation of trade routes.
Yeah, I mean, what's to not understand about that? You don't have to focus. I was 11 when I saw it, and obviously I didn't understand the actual policy stuff they were talking about, but I know
you just
okay,
look
this guy's
at dumb
blocking,
creatures.
No, it's like these guys are blocking trade from that planet because of, and that's pretty easy to put together. Come on, they're like, oh, your ships can't leave the planet, so you get nothing. You're blockaded. That's it.
And then there's Queen Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
With
Queen
Monotone. Well, are you granting me her bad acting then?
That's not bad acting.
What do you mean?
That was because they wanted to do that switcheroo.
What, the decoy? The
yeah.
Keira Knightley is
yeah.
a decoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but when she's playing the part of the handmaiden,
yeah.
when Anakin tells her, are you an angel? Did
yeah.
you drop down from
she
the sky?
She doesn't have monotone then.
She does. She's
no,
horrible.
No. Then she's normal. She's like a normal handmaiden. Like, whatever. She's her tone is normal.
Dude, she's acting worse than she does in Thor. But I guess she was young. Whatever. The best actor in this movie is Yoda, by the way. And that's the only good use of CGI in this movie.
No, I didn't mind
CGI
McGregor.
Characters.
I didn't mind Qui-Gon Jinn. Obi-Wan, Yoda, none of the Jedi, Mace Windu, they're all good. Like, what's bad about them?
Acting-wise? No,
yeah.
I just think Yoda is, like, the best connection to old Star Wars. And by the way, I never liked puppet Yoda. Everybody complained that Yoda is not a puppet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good CG Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish Jar Jar Binks had been this level. Like, Jar Jar Binks, when he's solely in the frame,
mm-hmm.
it's like watching Space Jam. When he's solo. Like, when he's with other people, it's like watching Space Jam. Like, you can tell...
Space Jam?
Yeah, because you can tell this is a live-action people... talking to empty space.
Or Looney Tunes?
Yeah, and
oh.
he's a CGI character.
Oh, okay.
But Yoda is actually pretty seamless. Like,
well, also, I think it's because of the height of the character. Just like,
yeah,
like a tiny-ass thing just there, so you don't have to fake that much.
You
but Jar Jar makes
it
a full human.
Have you seen the making of? Firstly, it was a black guy who played Jar Jar, so maybe that helped
it
the racist.
Was or wasn't?
It was a black guy.
Okay.
And then to make the...
Why'd you say that?
Because of all the racist allegations he got.
Ah.
It could have been anyone. He didn't need to be black.
Yeah.
Know? And then he had a giant Jar Jar face on top of him to make the eyelines match.
They do that for a lot of Star Wars movies.
And you can tell in this one, unfortunately. But anyway, I could shit on this movie all day the way this movie shit on Star Wars. Do you have anything else? Because I have a point to end this based on how this movie ends.
I mean, I have a ton, but there's no point in talking to you about it. So why don't you just shoot?
Okay, we'll let the listeners decide whether they're
as
on the
always,
side.
As always, yeah.
whether they're on the side of rightness or...
Not to bias our listeners, but I have an 85% win rate.
Fuck off. Okay, did you pay attention to how this movie ends?
As in the last sequence?
The parade.
Yeah.
It was a throwback
Very
to
Star Wars.
New Hope and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Right? Except in New Hope, when the movie ends, Princess Leia gives medals to the main characters of the movie.
Yes.
Here, Amidala gives an orb with some blue light in it to the Gungan king.
Yeah.
And then he lifts it up.
Yeah.
And then that's how the movie ends.
Yeah, because the whole thing is that now these two races can coexist on the same planet.
But it makes no sense. It doesn't have your lead character. Like, it's such an unnecessary homage. I was watching it.
Who's the lead character in this movie, according to you?
Anakin's, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon's dead.
Okay.
Okay. Anakin's a little kid, so she's not going to give like a...
Why?
Like,
he's the one who by luck, sheer luck, by the way, saves the day.
Yeah, it's on autopilot, man. It's not his fault.
So can we talk about that? I forgot to mention that.
I wanted to stay away from Anakin as much as possible.
Luke saves the day based on him being an amazing pilot, losing his mentor and using the Force to change the direction of a laser bolt into the Death Star.
It was like smart, like Naboo pilot stuff that they keep their shit on autopilot.
Oh my God.
Like they knew their stuff, man.
I'm so glad this came up.
Anakin, dude, like I actually never liked, like since day one of watching this movie, I never liked Jake Lloyd's portrayal of Anakin Skywalker. It was just, it kind of got to me.
I think he's cute. He's a cute little Vader.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's what they were shooting for. Like, make it like the most harmless, like polar opposite of the most evil character in movie history. And that's what they found. I guess that worked.
I wish like Boyhood, they'd somehow cast him for the rest of the movies as well. You know?
And then just had that
continuity.
Yeah.
It only got worse with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
And then he could have gone all Anakin Unchained and just like killed everyone and shit.
Yeah, except he got really bullied in school. Let's not go there. Yeah. But it was on autopilot. It's not his fault. It clearly established that he's good with flying and driving and riding and stuff like that.
It must have been his midichlorian count.
Of course it was his midichlorian count. Like the Force helped him.
I think we're straight, Vikram. So why don't I re-summarize?
If you do Jar Jar again.
What's going to happen?
Only if you do Jar Jar again.
At the end of this feud. You are going to lose, sir.
Oh God, Jar Jar. And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. And now we feuded, and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won. You can vote on our social media at Muncho Movies on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or you can find us on YouTube at also Muncho Movies.
Oh, wow. And our website as well, munchomovies.com, or wherever you guys get your podcasts.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Castbox. Check us out wherever you'd like. Until next week.
Bye-bye.